Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. For the past year, the pandemic has dominated the efforts of all health services in Northumberland. The hospital is a cornerstone in providing services, but it has also been a leader throughout. Its partnerships with various agencies and institutions through the Ontario Health Team, the Health Unit, and others is a driving force in the county. Like so many other changes, this year's annual general meeting was held virtually. But this does not take away from the significance of the report and what it means going forward. Here is my interview with the chair of the board, Pam Wendt. I'm so pleased to have with me today Pam Wendt, who is now serving her third year as chair of the board for the Northumberland Hills Hospital. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be here.
You just had your annual meeting last week for the hospital. To what extent did the pandemic dominate the hospital's agenda over the past year?
I would I say it didn't really, it was more the backdrop of everything. It was everything was in the context of the pandemic, but the hospital and the board attempted to, and I think quite successfully, run the hospital, operate the hospital, govern the hospital as we always have. So I like to say that I'm so proud that at no time did anyone on the senior team or say to the board, well, we can't do that because of the pandemic. The pandemic was never used as an excuse for not striving to attain all of the goals that were set up in the strategic plan. So, as I say, it influenced, but it was not a big downer for us.
There must have been some challenges, though. What has the hospital struggled with over the past year?
Again, I wouldn't use the word struggle. I would say adapted. Our board, again, I'm very proud of them. Adapted very well to governing in a virtual environment and to governing in what you might call disruptive times. Our board has always been a high functioning board built on a great deal of trust and respect for each other. And that that enabled us to work in a different manner. So we had to adjust to having our meetings on Zoom instead of person to person, face to face. We also had to adjust to not having the traditional board meetings. We had to be ready to meet with staff, meet with the senior team at any time, again, over Zoom when there were issues that we needed to deal with. But again, I think we did a really good job of it because we work so well together anyway. The one challenge, and I wouldn't say challenge so much as just, what did we miss? What did we miss the most? And I sat down with each of the board members and the community members of our board in January of this year, after we had been in pandemic mode for 9 months, and asked them how we were doing. How were we working together? Were there any issues? And what did they miss? What were we missing the most? And the thing that everyone was missing was the opportunity to have conversations. Zoom does not really lend itself to conversations or discussions of more esoteric issues. I mean, and people missed that. And so what we did is we introduced what we called them generative discussions, but what they were Zoom calls, but where the topic was not necessarily about the pandemic or the operation of the hospital. It was more about how we operated as the board. So as an example, we had a discussion around how we recruit for the board and how we have a succession plan for the board and what we needed to do differently in light of things like diversity and inclusion. And that was, so we used that as a way to still have those conversations and personal contacts. And I think, well, again, we did a survey and that was deemed to be quite successful. We all want to get back to the board table. We all want to share a cup of coffee, but in the meantime, we have our board meetings with agenda items that we deal with as effectively as we possibly can in a virtual environment. And then we're having these conversations in a different on a different night and getting almost all people attending. And they've been deemed as not perfect, but a good way to maintain that camaraderie, if you will, that sharing of ideas that we value so much.
The hospital had a surplus again this year. How much was it?
I'm going to look it up because I don't want to make 3-point-something million, just over $3 million.
Why was there a surplus? How does that work in the hospital?
Well, any good business should have a surplus to be prepared for the unexpected. And we were not able to do that for many years. Two or three years ago, and again, Linda would give you a better answer in terms of timing. We were recognized, the government, the Ministry of Health did recognize that we were underfunded as a hospital and took steps to improve that situation so that we were on a level playing field with other hospitals that were being funded adequately. And with that as a base, the natural efficiency of our organization that has been recognized in the past by consultants and so on that have had a look at it, kicked in and allowed us to develop that surplus. We did receive extra revenue from the government for COVID-19 and put that on top of the efficiencies the team was able to materialize. We ended up with that surplus. And that's our second year. Last year, we had a surplus as well.
Where does that money go?
Well, some of it we put aside into a special account for capital expenditures that we otherwise might have to go to the bank for. For example, the hospital needs a new roof. And some of it might go there. We're also introducing a clinical information system this winter in December, which the foundation and the auxiliary are raising money for. But we also will have we could use some of the surplus for that as well. And then of course we have to be prepared for the unexpected. All year last year, we had more beds occupied than we say is capacity. We ran over 100% occupancy. So again, you want a surplus to be able to deal with that. And it's not just the physical bed, it's all of the support systems around having those additional patients in the hospital. So that's, again, any good business wants to carry a certain number of months worth of revenue in order to be prepared for the expenses that we may foresee, we may not foresee, and unexpected capital requirements.
In your report to the annual general meeting, you talked about cementing partnerships. Can you tell us with whom you've cemented these partnerships with?
Yes, taking advantage of a crisis to do new and innovative things or creative things or form new partnerships. We already had established a strong partnership with other community health providers through the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland, which Northumberland County was one of the first OHTs. And the COVID-19 situation was an excellent test of how strong that partnership was. So a group of healthcare providers in our county got together, formed the Ontario Health Team, and decided on some projects that they could do together. Then COVID-19 happened, and immediately all of those partners focused on what do we need to do to help the hospital. And it was things like sharing PPE, sending excess PPE to the hospital, saying, what can we do? How do we help the hospital? So that's one partnership that was already very strong, but definitely became more cemented. Then another example of that partnership, and you've got to remember too, the Ontario Health Team includes the county, which is very, actually, I believe, not common in some of the Ontario Health Teams, but the Northumberland County is a member of that team. When it became possible to get vaccinations for the 80 and over age group, and the provincial booking site was not up and running, Coburg Rotary took it on to create a mass vaccination site where those doses could be administered to 80 and over people in Northumberland County. And the partnership there was a new one. It was Rotary and the Ontario Health Team. And through the Ontario Health Team, we had one organization that called every person that was 80 and over to make an appointment. Through Rotary, they actually built the mass vaccination center, and I hope you've seen it at the CCC. Again, just unbelievable achievement there. And then recruited the volunteers. Early on, the hospital bought a freezer so that if we got the Pfizer vaccine, we'd have the freezer. And again, that was available. So there's another example of how a partnership that had not existed before came together, was cemented, and I expect that we'll see even more partnerships like that in this county, because they set such an excellent example of how people can focus on a problem and address it.
It seems to me that these partnerships that you have, though, they certainly strengthen a lot of aspects of health care in our community, but then there are other groups that are being left out. For example, we've discovered just in the past week that the Northumberland Community Counseling Center is going to be closing because it's struggling. And, you know, I think we can all say that that's going to be a great loss for mental health services in the community. Is the hospital doing anything to strengthen these groups beyond the health team and reaching out to ensure that because of the pandemic and because of these groups struggling are going to be able to survive?
I would engage Linda Davis in that question because it's more of an operational question. Our community mental health services, the hospital's community health team, I know in the past has worked with the Northumberland Community Counseling Center, but I don't know what's happened with that. I would defer to Linda and possibly Jennifer Cox, who's the manager of mental health services. It is certainly the whole area of mental health and well-being has certainly become front and center for us during the pandemic. And things are in place, things are happening. I'm just not the expert on it and would ask that Jennifer could defer that to Linda and Jennifer for a response.
The current President and CEO Linda Davis is leaving in a month. Can you describe the reaction of the board as she sat through her last annual meeting?
Well, we weren't ready to say goodbye, and I think neither is Linda. I mean, she's still actively in her job as the CEO for the rest of this month, and then we'll transitioning to our new CEO. Linda guided this hospital for over 7 years. And when she arrived, we did have issues. I mentioned earlier about having that our funding model was perhaps not the right one. And through her leadership, her advocacy with the Ministry of Health, that was fixed. And we are now in good stead financially and on that level playing field that we needed to be. She was also faced not long after she joined us with an imposed hospital improvement plan that came to us from the Lynn. And she managed to guide our ship through that as well and come out the other side with learnings. Certainly there were a few things that could be done, but we also found out through that process from the consultants that our hospital was very efficient and very well run, and there really weren't a lot of opportunities for us to find savings, and that really our issue was the funding model that we were under. She obviously has been here through COVID and again, unprecedented. Nobody knew what to do. She has guided our organization and our community through it. And when I say that, that the board adapted well to virtual governing, our hospital adapted well to working in a pandemic because of her leadership.
There was an official announcement for her replacement, Susan Walsh.
Yes.
And I noticed that Walsh has many similarities in her background to Davis. They're both registered nurses who trained in management. Was this deliberate decision by the board?
We, when Linda announced her retirement at the beginning of the year, we formed a CEO recruitment committee with 6 board members, 3 doctors, and a member of the senior management team. We engaged in an executive search firm to help us find the right candidate. We took great pains to develop a description of what we were looking for. And I was very pleased that we had a very high level of interest expressed from the medical community around the province. Not only several expressions of interest, or quite a few expressions of interest, but we were able to interview a fair number of people. Not surprisingly, our hospital has a great reputation in the hospital community in Ontario. And that reputation plus our community, we also included that in the briefing of what our community was like, but a lot of people knew about the Northumberland County community. They attracted some very good talent. And we interviewed quite a few, including Susan. And at the end of the day, the committee unanimously recommended her appointment to the board, and the board unanimously approved that appointment.
She is already working for the hospital, is that correct? In another position. Can you describe, for people who may not be familiar with this, what her position was prior to being made CEO and president?
Her appointment's effective August 3rd. So again, right now, she's still in her current position. So Susan is the chief nursing executive for our hospital, so in charge of all of the nurses. She's also the vice president of patient services. And she's our chief clinical information officer and really the point person for the implementation of the clinical information system that we're going to introduce in December.
Moving on to the Hospital Foundation capital campaign, there was a recent announcement that Hank Vandermeer was appointed as the capital campaign chair. From the board's perspective, how significant is that? And how would those of us who are in the community, how should we be thinking about that in terms of its significance?
The fact that it was Hank?
Yes.
Well, I think, again, yeah, you probably read some of his comments on it. Hank's family is well established in the community, and they have a strong sense of giving back. This capital campaign, and again, it's being overseen by the foundation board, not the hospital board. So I'm aware of it because I'm on the campaign planning committee, and I will be on the campaign cabinet. This is the largest capital campaign in Northumberland County's history, not just the hospital. And to have someone of Hank's position in the community is very significant. We believe it is sending a strong message to the community. 2 weeks ago, and I'm losing, it might be 2 weeks ago, but the campaign did approach the county of Northumberland to be part of it. And again, we've never done that before. The foundation has never gone to the county and asked for money. I think when you have a campaign this big, this significant, you need someone of Hank's stature. And it's also a long campaign. It's not just 1 year. It's going to be several years, 4 years, 5 years, I think. We've already finished 1 year, so 4 more years. And I believe that Hank has said he will be with us the whole way, which is also very significant because it is a huge job of being the face of the campaign, visiting donors, making asks, keeping a campaign cabinet together. It's a huge job. And I know that as a member of the campaign committee and as chair of the board of the hospital, I was thrilled that he would agree to do it.
Just for people who may not know what the Capital campaign is for, could you just quickly tell us, explain what the money raised is going to go towards?
So every year the foundation raises money for capital. The government of Ontario does not give us money, does not provide money for equipment. And I say occasionally there's some, but certainly things like MRI, CT scans, if we need new ones, which we do, the hospital's equipment is getting older. It's hard to believe the hospital's opened in 2003 and we have a lot of equipment from then. It's reached the end of its life. So, there's an MRI, we need new MRI, new CT scanner, that's part of this campaign. I mentioned earlier a clinical information system, which we're in a partnership with there's a total of 14 hospitals going at the same time onto the system. And what it will do is enable patients' information to be available when they go to one of those other hospitals, their information will go with them. The information can be shared with their family doctor, and they will have their access to their own information. It's a huge system, and it's a huge investment being shared among the other seven partners. And so part of what we're raising the money for in the capital campaign is to pay for the hospital's portion of that investment. And then there is, of course, ongoing requirements for scopes, for beds. Every year it's a couple of million dollars. So again, in that huge envelope called the capital campaign is also that ongoing annual requirement for capital to renew equipment.
What is the biggest challenge ahead for the board?
I think there's a couple. One is the continuous renewal of the board. It's a volunteer. We don't get paid. Some people think we do. We don't. It's time, it's energy. And we are committed to diversity and inclusion. And it is difficult to find people from other groups that will join our board. And we're going to develop strategies to do that because we think it is and can be an attractive offer to people who represent other ethnicities than ours, than we currently have on the board. But again, it's a balance. People have to be willing to put the time in. And youth, for example, we would like to have some young professionals join our board. But we have meetings at 8:30 in the morning. We have meetings at 5 at night. It can be up to 10 hours a month. And young professionals have families and businesses to run and so on. So, you know, how do we do that? So I would say that's one of our issues is how to recruit the talent, the age groups, the ethnicities, the diverse groups to our board. I don't think we are a very effective board. I'm not worried about that. It's just we want to be more representative of the makeup of our county. And the other challenge for us as a board is to prepare for a very uncertain future. And we are going to be launching, starting the work on a new strategic plan this fall. And part of our preparation for that I'm calling it scenario planning. There's other words, I guess, that could describe it. But we need to envision 5, 10, 20, 25 years out, what might the situation be? What might the environment be like? What might the demands on the hospital be? And have maybe even two or three possible scenarios of how what we're going to need to be prepared for. And then you start moving towards the future, and you've got one scenario you think is the right one, but you establish milestones along that way that tell you, okay, if this happens, you're in the wrong scenario, you better move over to one of the other ones. And that's very simplistic. There's a whole, I would say, not science around it, but a philosophy around it. But we're committed to trying to bring the resources to our strategic planning session, the expertise. The Ontario Hospital Association is also looking at doing this, and we may be calling on them for some help. But I would say that's our biggest challenge is how are we prepared? Although there were people like Bill Gates who predicted the pandemic, certainly here in Northumberland County, we did not have that on our radar screen. Now that we've seen one, obviously we need to be prepared, but will it be the same? So I would say it's also an exciting challenge. It's not a challenge in a negative way. It is, okay, how do we do that? How do we do our best job to have the infrastructure in place for the future that right now is completely unknown?
Pam Wind, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That was Pam Wendt, Chair of the Board for the Northumberland Hills Hospital. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.